Hello, friends and folks, and welcome back to Scanline Media's 2021 Gimmick Awards. This is our Game of the Year celebration here at Scanline Media. We are doing 15 categories, one podcast per category, covering various topics that we want to celebrate from our coverage and our experience of 2021. I'm Six Detmar.
I'm Jennifer Unkle.
I'm Kyrie Page, and even though we just said a bunch of stuff about covering video games today, in this category,
I don't think I mentioned the word games.
Ah, you did. I thought.
I did. Yeah, I said Game of the Year, didn't
yeah,
I?
Yeah, you said Game of the Year. Yeah. Well, this is our Gimmick Awards, and we're going to talk about anime, this hot, crazy trend from Japan. Anime is on the move.
Doing your World War II newsreel voice again,
yeah,
I see.
Yeah, exactly. It's a new character?
Sure.
Okay.
If you say so.
It is what I say. There are words coming out of my mouth.
So this category is the Oops All Anime Award. It's stuff that we have covered. So it has to be something we've oopsed to be valid. And on that note, we are looking for one winner and two runners-up, possibly more if we feel it's necessary. Jen, can you read our nominees, please?
Sure thing. So we have Akagi, the genius that descended into darkness, Evangelion 3.0 plus 1.0, Thrice Upon a Time, Moriarty the Patriot, Yu-Gi-Oh!, Serial Experiments Lane. I see that Six is already moving to cut. Oh, Six is just making fun of my pronunciation. Great. Okay. Anyway, I left off at Yu-Gi-Oh!, so Yu-Gi-Oh!, Serial Experiments Lane, Dirty Pair, March Comes In Like a Lion, Mobile Suit Gundam Hathaway, Deno Coil, Godzilla Singular Point, and Delicious in Dungeon, which is a manga, not an anime. Mm-hmm.
No, but that's an interesting point. So we did oops it.
We did, yeah.
Yeah, this is kind of like the oops all. Like we would have, like, we'd have maybe come up with. Whatever. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We oopsed it. It counts.
What? Yeah. I mean, I think it's fine to put manga on here. I think people recognize that anime and manga are pretty closely related. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What is not, however, related are things that we didn't cover.
Right.
So, unfortunately, I put Mobile Suit Gundam Hathaway on here because I do want to recognize it. It is a movie we watched together. We had a lot of time with Gundam this year, and Hathaway was, I think, one of the high points for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just a fantastically animated movie, and it has more interesting things going on than, say, Char's Counterattack.
Sure, though it is a direct response to Char's Counterattack, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just, like, and yeah, like you said, we didn't cover it, so it doesn't, you know, qualify for our awards. But I did want to say, like, I think I could say a lot about Mobile Suit Gundam Hathaway. But the one thought I kind of want to get across is that, to me, anyway, this is, like, one of the first Gundam series, like about, like, the adults in the room, if that makes sense. Like, Hathaway he's in his mid-20s compared to most Gundam protagonists, right? Granted, I mean, I haven't seen every Gundam. I'm sure there are, you know, adult, like, main characters in other Gundam series, but...
Not really.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, the vast majority of them are young kids, and Hathaway, in this movie, is his mid-20s, and it is a movie kind of addressing that of, like, how do, like, the adults in the room interact with the war, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that perspective really interesting. I love the sequence in which Hathaway and the lady that he's, like, he's hooked up with or whatever, they are running through the streets, like, scared out of their minds because, like, two mobile suits are having a huge battle in the middle of the city and there's destruction and fire all around them. It is striking. It is evocative. Like, Mobile Suit Gundam Hathaway is a great film.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
I don't think March Comes In Like a Lion is gonna hang with the rest of the pack. A pack of lions.
It's funny, yeah, because lions say they tend to congregate in packs.
I liked it. I also wanted to shout out, I mean, Nick said he knew it was like it was a shoe and it was the lazy answer, but like he managed to recommend a show that didn't suck shit, which is like a first for him, so that's cool.
Yeah,
it's Nick recommended that?
Oh yeah.
Nick. Uh-huh. Our Nick. Incredible.
I know.
Yeah, it is a really good show. I just haven't watched any more of it because it makes me sad as shit.
Yeah, I have to say, like, I wasn't on this particular episode of Oops All Anime. I guess I was, like, out or too busy that week. But I remember I listened to the episode that you two did, and it was really fantastic. Really got across, like, the emotional core of, like, March Comes In Like a Lion. Really fantastic stuff all around. But yeah, probably doesn't hang.
So, Evangelion 3.0 plus 1.0 Thrice Upon a Time is on here.
Yep.
I think the beginning of that could win.
Yeah, you know.
But unfortunately, the rest of the movie is also there.
Yeah.
If it was just like 30 minutes long and just had the Rey stuff, like, that stuff is just phenomenal. It is incredibly moving, and the bits where Shinji's is kind of unwilling to face anything, that is, it has some really strong stuff in it, but
it's closer, I think, to the first hour. Like, the first hour of that film is this really, like, touching piece. It is about the survivors of, like, the, what was it, the near third impact, I believe, in this alternate continuity. Mm-hmm. Like, these are the survivors of the near third impact in this devastated and just absolutely destroyed world, coming together to make a community and make something, like, beautiful. And yeah, the rest of the movie is there, and I personally have a lot of mixed feelings about Thrice Upon a Time, but I am just glad it exists. Because the way it ends, like, I don't know, we've said it before, this is the third time Evangelion has ended, but really at this point, I think, like, Evangelion has been put to bed. Like, when the final shot of the movie is a fucking drone shot, like, transitioning from the animated characters to real-ass world, you know, Japan, is Hideki Anno basically saying, stop talking about Evangelion and let me do Shin Kamen Rider. I found it a cathartic film. I wasn't necessarily satisfied by everything it did. I mean, there's a number of reasons for that. But I don't know. I think that it is, like, I'm glad it exists. It's not top three.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is all the anime that actually came out this year. Actually, no. No, there's one show on here that came out in 2021 that you seem to enjoy quite a bit. Let's talk about Godzilla Singular Point. Like, I didn't watch it. I wasn't on that episode. Because give me the pitch on, like, Godzilla Singular Point.
So, like, it's an interesting mix between, like, telling a modern-day Godzilla story, like, the whole disaster movie stuff, throwing all sorts of challenges at them, and, like, making it... It feels like a theoretical sci-fi novel mixed with that, and it's such a fascinating combination, because, like, you get to, like, the second or third episode in, and, like, they start talking about, like, matter that doesn't technically exist within this world and getting into conversations about that between, like, the science girl and her little AI partner, and also just this group of scientists that this girl starts hanging out with and sharing her findings with. And it's a really hard line to straddle, like, going for all action like this and mixing it with just long stretches of talking about theoretical physics and, like, very imaginative ideas about what a alternate future might look like or whatever. But I think it's a line that they straddle very well.
Does it, like, draw influence from a particular era of Godzilla film? Like, you know, we know that there's the Showa and Heisei eras of, like, Godzilla. Like, is it more modern? Or is it kind of like a mix of, like, various, like, Godzilla-like media?
It felt like its own thing to me.
Okay, so kind of like the Hideki Anno, like, Shin Godzilla to a certain degree? Like, how that kind of deviated from, like, the established formula?
I mean, I'm not an expert on Godzilla, and so it's hard for me to make too many, like, direct comparisons to.
Sure.
But it's like, it was very much, like, I mean, it's a Godzilla anime, and it feels like an anime, right? Like, it is interested in the people and their story, but not in the way of a normal Godzilla movie where it's about, like, the way people react to this phenomenon. I mean, it kind of is about that, but I guess it's more about these people have their own lives and personalities and how Godzilla shapes that, you know?
Mm-hmm. The classic, you know, complaint or whatever of, like, kaiju stories in general is that, you know, oh, everybody's there to just see the kaiju, right? You know, nobody mm-hmm. cares about the human characters. And it sounds like with Godzilla singular point, it's very focused on the people that these monsters affect.
Yeah, and also, like, the monsters kind of get pushed to the side sometimes because, like, there's a bigger mystery going on that they're trying to figure out to explain why the monsters are coming, or, like, what are they doing to the sea when they turn it red and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Also, it's, like, the first appearance of Jet Jaguar, like, for the first time in years because of, like, rights hang-ups or something like that. And so, I love Jet Jaguar.
So, Jet Jaguar's good.
Yeah, it's so good. It's, like, as far as I know, like, Jet Jaguar is, like, initially invented and piloted by, like, a crazy old man or something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's entertainment to me.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
I think Godzilla right now, like, I wasn't bringing it up to, like, cut it. I think Godzilla singular point might be a strong contender on this list, personally, from the way you two talk about it.
It's hard to know what is a contender, to be honest, because it's a good list. We did a good job.
Yeah. It's a list filled with winners, really.
Hmm.
I guess I didn't feel as strongly about Deno Coil as others did here, maybe, seeing that it's on here.
I had a lot of respect for it. I mean, I could see it go. I thought, like, it was one of those ones that we, like, agreed on liking is sort of the thing, where there are ones on here where we had more varied reactions, I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that is a good point.
But I think we could pick a stronger one.
Yeah, I think so. Like, briefly on Deno Coil, I really thought it was, like, a really imaginative, melancholy world that was, you know, forward-thinking in a lot of ways, you know, influenced, you know, actual technologies and trends in our world as well. Like, Deno Coil is definitely something worth checking out. I wish it was easier to get access to Deno Coil. Like, it used to be on Netflix. Now it's not. It's a whole thing. Like, you know how to find Deno Coil, but, you know, I wish it was easier to just, like, point, like, oh, just, you know, boot it up on Netflix or something, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
Because
sure.
I think more people should watch Deno Coil. I think it is a really interesting work. I think that just in general, it is a, like, it was striking and I really liked it a lot. But I think there are other, like, things on this list that could overcome that as well.
Mm-hmm.
But Deno Coil, definitely worth a shot. Like, this to me on this list is really it's an honor to be nominated in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Because I think I think we all pretty unanimously agree that, like, well, with the exception of maybe Evangelion or whatever, we say that these, like, exemplify something about the year of, like, our year of anime coverage in 2021 in some way.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, the Evangelion movie may not have been that good, but I remember our conversation about it, and that was really cathartic. But, yeah.
Yeah. God, it's so hard to pick something to cut from this.
I respectfully, Kyrie.
Yeah.
I don't know that Yu-Gi-Oh! Fits here.
Fair. No, that's fine.
Yeah, most of my most of my experience with Yu-Gi-Oh! That year was just watching the marathons that Six and Kyrie were doing at various points.
It was all Six. They're the one.
Yeah. All you, but yeah, it's that was my experience with it, and that was a blast, but also that was not really all anime for me.
Sure. I mean, I was mostly glad that I, like, my piece on Yu-Gi-Oh! Is that I was really glad I was able to share how much I loved this show, and I feel like my passion for it, like, you know, it's just a show I have a lot of genuine passion for, and I really liked. And I'm glad that you were able to get enjoyment out of this show that I think a lot of people kind of, like, I mean, not everybody, like, writes it off, but, like, most people think of, like, oh, isn't that that silly card game show? It's like, yeah, it is, but that's what makes it really fun, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, you're right. Yu-Gi-Oh! Doesn't necessarily hang. That's more of a me thing, but I already talked about, like, we did the Oops All anime episode on it. We did the 200th episode, like, recommendations. I've spoken a lot about it. I love it a lot, but it doesn't have to be on this list. Because there's another one that I think is in the top three easily.
I don't know. I know what you mean.
Uh-huh.
But it's a strong list.
It's a strong list. So, go ahead.
I had a decent time with Moriarty the Patriot. I didn't feel strongly enough about it for it to be necessarily here. I know, Jen, you certainly felt more strongly about it, and I want to hear your thoughts, but I don't have any idea how Kyrie feels.
Yeah, it's a show that I like a whole lot, because, like,
it's extremely gen-core.
It's gen-core, but, like, it's very good at what it's doing. Like, it's basically taking the classic Sherlock Holmes setting, focusing it on Moriarty, and being like, hey, you know what really sucks? The upper class. What if we just had this dude who essentially found ways to orchestrate a working class uprising against the upper class by finding various ways to, like, either get someone from the working class to kill an upper class person, or, like, finding ways to show an entire audience this upper class person murdering someone. And
it's a little dramatic, that's for sure.
Yeah, and it uses Sherlock in a good way, too, because, like, Sherlock is technically his rival, but ultimately is kind of another pawn for Moriarty to do kind of a good thing here, because he's like, okay, so Sherlock, this dumb idiot dog boy who is very astute at figuring things out, like, I'm gonna have him, like, on my tail, I'm not gonna have him, like, be a witness and figure out these various crimes, and through that process, through this famous detective making connections and exposing these crimes to the world, he will further my cause of taking down the upper class by basically he's basically molding Sherlock into a hero for his own purposes. And they do a great job of, like, showing Sherlock as both a somewhat danger to his plan sometimes, and also just, like, very much what he wants to accomplish Sherlock is doing. Also, it's full of cute boys.
Yeah, there it is. There it is. There's the fucking silver bullet. Okay, so my take on Moriarty the Patriot, I enjoy its premise quite a bit. You know, I have a, like, I have a soft spot for interesting adaptations of, like, the Sherlock Holmes, like, story. And, you know, this is one, like, focusing on Moriarty, right? Like, Moriarty is a such an interesting character in, like, literature. Like, I believe Moriarty showed up in 2 Sherlock Holmes stories. I mean, granted, he was in one of the big ones, like, the Final Question, I think. Which was, like, the one...
Well, that was where he was invented, where Sherlock Holmes was like, you don't understand, there's this super cool guy, and you shouldn't be mad that he's about to kill me.
Yeah, basically. And then, and he was built up in a lot of ways, and... Yeah, there's a lot of, like, shallow appeal in this show. It's like, oh, it's just a lot of really hot people murdering other people, basically. But, like, at the... Like, in it is, like, a really... interesting, like, it's a drama. It is an absurd drama, and it knows it, and it relishes in that. There is a sequence in which one of Moriarty's boys is, like, a sniper who, after having sex with a lady, is, like, sniping a dude from a window, like, completely naked, and making the other dude, like, quote-unquote, dance with the bullets, right? It's absurd. And it, like, has, like, moments that just kind of stick out. Like, when Irene Adler transitions to James Bond, right? Like, yeah. It is a show that relishes in its absurd, drama. I don't know how much of, like... I don't know how much that can propel a show. But, I don't know, it's fun. It's, like I said, it's not particularly deep. But
it sounds like we feel more strongly about it than we do Godzilla.
A little, yeah. There is a more ridiculous show that I feel like I could also see putting in front of Moriarty, just because, like, I know that Moriarty's kind of my pet project between the three of us, and I do think that as a ridiculous show, Dirty Pair kind of comes out on top in terms of, like, oh, this is just a good fucking show. But also, I guess it is also just kind of doing similar things to Lupin as well.
Well, I mean, who cares if we like
it? Yeah, who cares if you like it? I have another thing to say about Moriarty, but, like, the moment's gone. Don't worry about it.
Well, you can say it.
I was just going to say it was pretty fucking great in Moriarty the Patriot, where one of the dudes that Moriarty targets is a guy who takes, like, heart medicine, right? And so what he does is he, like, conscripts, like, the worker that, like, this asshole, like, got his kid killed inadvertently, basically. Conscripts him to, like, making, like, fucking cookies and grapefruit juice. And as this dude is having a fucking heart attack after, like, the guy's wife, like, tries to murder him, like, Moriarty just stands over him, calmly explains that, like, grapefruit juice, like, interacts with the enzymes in his medicine and says, like, basically, you were killed by, like, it was basically saying, I am the, like, king of crime, like, Moriarty. It's, like, so absurdly over the top. It's really fun. Now, Dirty Pair. God, that theme song, the moment I said those words, like, said Dirty Pair, that theme song just instantly sprung into my head. What a fucking fun show about two, like, disaster lesbians, like, destroying cities and just trying to, like, save the day in the most, like, out there fashion possible. And I mean that this is a show from the 80s, I believe. And, like, and they're practically in, like, jazzercise, like, leotards. It's hilarious. Like the relationship between, like, Yuri and Kay are just, like, really fun. Like, it is, like, again, like, instead of, so how Moriarty, like, relishes in its, like, extreme drama, like, Dirty Bear knows that it's just here to be, like, you know, to fucking entertain you, right? So it has, you know, these girls fucking get onto a space cruise ship and try and solve a mystery and, like, try to make sure that, like, when the cruise ship inevitably crashes back into Earth, it hits as few buildings as possible, right?
I There's also this just this vibe between the two of them where it's like this. It's not even like I don't feel like I'm doing a lot of work by saying like these two like have sex all the time and love each other and would do anything for each other, but they both think they're straight and it's hilarious.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
They like the idea of being straight and they are not.
Right, where, like, Kay is just being like, oh, yeah, I love a man who has a smooth chest or whatever. And then she's having this thought while, like, banging Yuri, basically. And it's like, God, again, these two are disasters. Like I said disaster lesbians, but it's like, these are, like, two disaster queers trying to, like, find a third for their fucked up polycule.
Mm-hmm. Also, just, like, the way they approach destruction in the show is so funny, just in terms of, like, a single mission will cause, like, multiple skyscrapers to go down, or, like, when they're getting driven into that secret lair where the guy does a lot of gambling, like, the whole thing is like, oh yeah, you have to have someone who knows how to drive through this maze, and then they just keep driving
after explosive. Like, bear dog thing. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but like their bear dog thing is just like driving through the bushes.
Yeah.
Fuck. Dirty Pair is so like, it's so funny. So effortlessly funny. The like the first episode has them fucking like trying to stop a rogue AI from like destroying this like mega city on a spire. Right? And like the way they get the AI to like Stack Overflow or whatever was like, I think Yuri basically saying, hey, which one of us is cuter? It's hilarious. And God, Dirty Pair is just, it's fun. It is an absolute joy to watch.
Yeah.
Like I think it says something that me and my terrible memory, right? That I was able to instantly recall vivid details of that show, even though it's been practically a year since we've seen like the first couple episodes.
Yeah, there's just so many little details that I want to keep bringing up about it too, like the way how they continuously keep their job because of the whims of the algorithm, and even the bosses are like, I don't know why we use this fucking thing for job management, but it keeps saying, hey, keep hiring these girls, so we're gonna keep hiring them.
They predicted YouTube. It's great.
Uh-huh.
The algorithm is just keeping them employed.
God, Yuri and Kay, disaster YouTubers. God. All right. So, Serial Experiments Lane is, it's tricky, right? Like, I did enjoy watching it, right? It is an intensely, like, I'm trying to think how to put it. Like, what I'm basically saying is, like, I don't know if necessarily Serial Experiments Lane, like, belongs on this list, personally.
I mean, on the final list. I think, you know, it certainly belongs on the list as it stands now.
Yeah, but
whether
yes,
it goes last to the top three, I...
Yeah, like...
Question.
I recognize that Serial Experiments Lane is a really important show. Mm-hmm. Like, I recognize that it was doing a lot of, like, really interesting things, you know, with, like, its own genre, with, like, its characters. I think it is a well-realized world, but, like, I guess it's one of those things where I had a hard time getting through it, which, again, is mm-hmm. not necessarily a bad thing. But, like, I guess, like, the types of things I wanted to get out of, like, Lane, in some ways, I was able to get out of Deno Coil, in a way. Like, I don't know. I don't know if it's much of a comparison, and, like I said, Lane is a very good, groundbreaking, important show, but I just, like, I have so many mixed feelings about it. Like, I don't think...
Yeah, I have a lot of reservations.
Yeah, like, I feel like it is a... It's definitely one of those shows that should be, you know, talked about, experienced, what have you, right? Like, it's important, but you have to be in the absolute correct mindset to watch this show, I think.
Like, my favorite thing about it is still I am bawling, I am faded.
God. I just remember I had a fucking old like reaction image saved on my computer from like ages ago of just like it's Lane in the bear Kikarumi going, fuck your shit, I'm in a bear suit. Because internet, like early internet humor, it was fucking easy. If we went back in time, like, you know, the dumb Twitter post is going around, like, oh, would you go back in time to be 6-year-old with all your knowledge or whatever? It's like, no, just go back to like the fucking mid-aughts, right? It's like, you don't have to make jokes. You just have to put like words on an image. That's all you gotta do.
That's it.
Yeah, this show does mean a lot to me, but also I understand that, it tries a lot of things that doesn't necessarily succeed at, and I do think it is kind of valid how the two of you weren't so hot on it as I was.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, it's time for Curia to lose a darling.
Damn it.
The Reaper has come for Akagi.
Yeah, all right. It did get you into Mahjong this year. Though.
It did. I mean, kind of you got me into Mahjong. Akagi didn't hurt, but it's mostly just that you were passionate about it, and I finally had someone who was willing to show me how the game actually worked. I really think the fact that the Washizu arc is so long and is so much of a letdown is what is sinking the show.
Yeah. Like, I feel like it's much stronger in its first season, where it's just showing various moments of Akagi walking into, like, a mafia game and just wrecking shit. And, Washizu just kind of keeps going. Like, this is something that season one also did from time to time, but the fact that they're dealing with just one game over these, 10 plus episodes or something, and it takes some of those episodes to just explain a hand that happened earlier. Like, just
so cool, though. It's so great. Well,
and the other thing is the problem we mentioned on the episode we did about it, which is because they set the stakes the way they do, you know Akagi can't lose.
Mm-hmm.
And not like it's about like there won't even be incidental setbacks. It's like, no, if any setback happens, he instantly dies. And so there is no tension anymore.
That is fair. Like, truth be told, like, I have obviously a lot of fondness for Akagi. It is the show that got me into Mahjong as a game. Mm-hmm. But you're right. Like, you know, I said it got you into Mahjong. But truth be told, like, I was the same way. Somebody else taught me the game and I got into it more. And I had an appreciation for Akagi. Like, as, you know, as a
show. Well, hang on. I just realized there are only 4 shows left on here. Or 4 things left on here. Delicious in the Dungeon is obviously not a show. We could just cut Moriarty.
Oh, damn it. I figured that since you were going for Akagi, I was safe here.
Hey, Kyria, we could just cut Moriarty and be on our way.
I mean, I like Akagi more than I like Moriarty. This is me.
Me too.
Okay, listen, Jen, this is...
Yes.
I am suddenly the Wesley Snipes picture holding the gun with tears to my eyes, except I still need to pull the trigger.
Okay.
I am the Wesley Snipes picture, only there are no tears in my eyes. I'm just kind of shrugging.
Listen, okay. If we are going to cut Moriarty...
Yeah.
I just want to say, I think it is a fun show. It is, like, I love its art style. I think its tone is really interesting. They make some weird choices, like, the ending theme is, like, buck wild in terms of, like, the tone and setting of that show, but it still kind of works in a fucked up way. And also, I read a little bit of the Moriarty the Patriot manga, but I genuinely am wondering, like, how much of that momentum can carry forward. There is, however, a sequence in which, in Moriarty the Patriot, in which he basically says, "Catch me if you can, Mr. Holmes," and I had funny feelings.
Well, that's a few episodes after their first meeting where Moriarty just goes up to him and sniffs him like a dog.
Okay, cut it.
Well, and it's worth noting, I mean, the nature of this category is it's all the shows we've covered. Moriarty the Patriot is the only show from this year to be in serious consideration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All of these other shows, like, it's competing with the history of anime. That's rough.
Yeah, that is rough.
Oh, shit, I forgot to put Skate the Infinity on here.
But okay, I know put it on the list and immediately cut it.
Yeah, it would have died so fast.
Yeah, gee, Jed likes yaoi bait? Sure.
What's up, bitches, bros, and non-binary hoes?
That is a pretty fun
thing to call me.
I have to say, props to the writer at Funimation who translated that line in that way. It's pretty good. It's pretty funny.
I'll also say, if, like, Moriarty the Patriot, the show, wasn't doing it for you, the manga does make some interesting... Like, the original manga has interesting differences in its plot that might be more to your taste if you enjoy the whole him working in various ways to, like, help the working class fuck over the rich, aside from just murder all the time. Like, in that... The way that the manga handles that third episode, like... He specifically finds a way to, like, the whole thing is, like, a sharecropping situation, but he finds a way to kind of just give the farmers competitive prices in a way that starts fucking over this rich person's business. So he basically, he shows it, like, the manga is more about how both systemic action mixed with murder, like, turning over the system and murdering at the same time can be good in addition to just murder.
Yeah, but the problem with Moriarty is, like, this is, like, my big criticism of it, and it's not even, like, one that you can even levy at, like, a work of it in its entirety. Like, there is a line in both the manga and the anime which, like, oh, we only kill the bad rich people, right? Which is, like, just a... I'm sure there was an editor's note somewhere saying, like, oh, you can't just say kill the rich, right? That sort of thing. So it's, like, how revolutionary really can it be?
Yeah, well, at the same time, it does have bits where he's a kid and he's, like, telling these other kids in the middle of a church, and what do we do if a rich person gives us, just screws us over, and all the kids start chanting, kill, 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 in this chapel, and it's so fucking good.
I know, that's the scene I was talking about, yeah. I don't know, it's fine. Anyway, the reason Akagi, okay, Akagi won't win this category.
No.
But... God damn, Akagi is so fucking good. I alluded to it in our first episode of, like, talking about Akagi. And I even brought it up again during the second episode in which we finished the series, right? The moment where Akagi walks up from the table, turns around, and tells the Yakuza boss, "I cast a spell on that tile. He will deal into it," and walks out the room, and then... fucking Urabe, like, discards the tile, right? And the fucking, like, Yakuza thug picks up the tile, and it looks like it is, like, a bloody, like, finger in his hand, and drops it, and is, like, fucking amazing.
Yep.
It's good.
But everyone knows how this is gonna work if you've listened to our other gimmick awards. The one thing we haven't talked about yet, Delicious in Dungeon, is gonna be the winner. Because we haven't even, like, had a conversation about it. And it was already guaranteed a slot. That's just how it works.
Damn, Jen. Way to fucking snipe the meta.
I actually think we need to reconsider Yu-Gi-Oh! Maybe that should... No, Delicious in the Dungeon is yeah, it's the best one here. It's really good. Yeah.
So, unfortunately, I was not on this episode of Oops All Manga. I did listen to it afterwards. Delicious in the Dungeon is such a fucking fun concept, right? It is about, you know, a group. It's like, you know, its concept is so easy to sell, right? It is ostensibly about a D&D party who gets stuck in a dungeon and they have to learn to cook their way out, basically. Right? Like, they... But then you actually read the manga. Then you start, like, seeing the stories that it is telling. It is talking about, like, it you know, it has this, like, love for food, but it also has this love for, like, the characters and the way we interact with food in some ways as well.
And also, just, like, weird things about, like, a really, like passionate interest for, like, tabletop logistics in a way that's really, like, this is a person who played a lot of, like, D&D 2nd edition and, like, was really a pain in the ass GM, but them as a fucking, you know, writer is working great because there's just this, like, oh, and we can use the oil from this flame trap in order to saute these onions. And you're like, guys, this is great, but what is wrong with your brain?
This is, like, really great because, like, every D&D group I've ever been in, like, every time I've ever played, like, a long campaign of D&D, like, nobody gives a shit about food, right? Like, mm-hmm. I sometimes try to think about it. Like, I remember in one campaign I was in, I was playing a character, and, like, I just made an offhand joke where I spent a gold and gave it to a farmer so I could munch on, like, a piece of raw corn. Because my character was, like, a fucking animal person, right? But it was, like, most of the time when people come to, like, D&D or whatever, it's mostly like, oh, I want to fight monsters and I want to, you know, gain gold and have adventures and stuff like that. They don't think about, like, that sort of minutia. And it's very clear that the mangaka loves thinking about that minutia.
Yeah, and also, like, if nothing else, if none of those other things count at all, like, Marcille is just the best manga character. just seeing her get put through the various trials of this dungeon, which often involve, like, eating monsters that she really doesn't want to eat, and she's just making the weirdest fucking faces about it, like, she's the best.
They have a serious conversation at one point on how to cook and eat a suit of living armor.
Yep.
That's hilarious. But the show also has, oh, not the show, this manga has, like, a lot of heart to it. Like I said, it cares about its characters in a lot of ways. And also, yeah, go ahead.
And also, like, I mean, I think it's really good at, like, being, like, affectionate and showing close moments with these characters, but it also embraces what complete fucking weirdos they are, you know, with a sincerity that's really great. Like, I mean, it's easy to use an example like Laios, the sort of the leader of the party, who is, like, obsessed with the idea of cooking and eating monsters to a degree that is sometimes uncomfortable. But you also get stuff like, you get Marcille, who is the, like, the half-elf mage, and she just, like, you bump into, like, pockets of neurosis from her, and it's very, like, it's funny but still sympathetic, and, like, I don't know, just the characterization work is so, walks this line, again, between, like, comedy and sympathy in a way that is so, so powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Right, it's, like, the things that make it work is, like, how much, like, for any sort of, like, comedy, manga, anime, almost, like, any comedy anything, right? A lot of comedy sometimes is derived from, like, characters feeling miserable and being shitty at each other, right? And mm-hmm. Delicious in Dungeon is much more interested in, like, the funny day-to-day moments that you have when you spend it with people you care about. Like, in a lot of ways, it reminds me of, like, you know, even Nichijou, right? Where mm-hmm. Nichijou is all about, like, the funny interactions you have with your friends that you care about in your life. Like, sometimes you're a little bit of an ass to people, or sometimes there are, like, issues that come up, but at the end of the day, you get the sense that these people love and care about each other. And Dungeon Meshi succeeds in that. Thing. Like, it captures the thing, like, basically every D&D party is trying to go for, which is, like, group cohesion, which is, like, well, not, like, every D&D party. Listen, I've been in some campaigns where everybody was a fucking min-maxer, and I was the only one interested in telling a fucking story, but, you know, I'm not bitter.
yeah, it's just... It's so much fun to see some of their harebrained ideas go completely wrong, too. Like, when Marcille is like, oh, I know what I'm going to do just to make sure that everything stays at its most potent, I'm just gonna use a rope to rip out this mandrake or whatever, and doesn't really think about the fact that the mandrake will be flying towards her and screaming. It's full of moments like that.
Or she like she's like, oh, that's the classic thing they teach us in school. You pull it out with a dog, and everyone's like, what the fuck? You just murder a dog? And she's like,
Also, like, just another thing, the art is fucking fantastic. Like, I love manga, like, a lot. Like, I think there's some really incredible, like, works of art out there. In, like, the art style for, like, Dungeon Meshi goes from, like, really simple and really clean lines to, like, you know, really interesting detailed, like, foods and faces. It's, like, it has, like, such an incredible cohesive, like, aesthetic that just, it just works.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I really hope that, like, so I know that there was talk of, like, there was, like, a teaser or whatever for Delicious Dungeon as an anime, and was that real? Was that a fan thing?
Well, like, there's a thing that sometimes they do for manga where they'll release a teaser that's like a few minutes long, but they're not planning on making a show. It's just a thing to advertise the manga.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like, I think that, like, you know, I think of all the, you know, manga out there that, like, I think you could do a, like, a really good anime series based on this, but, you know, that's not to say anything about, like Delicious in Dungeon is just such a fun and incredible manga, and you should give it a read.
Yeah. Congratulations to Delicious in Dungeon, which I keep wanting to say Delicious in the Dungeon because grammar's a motherfucker. Our winner of the Upsal Anime Award this year for 2021, our runners-up, Akagi the Genius That Descended into Darkness, By a Hair, and Dirty Pear.
Also, like, one quick note I want to say about Delicious in Dungeon. I'm glad it won. This was, like, I think 2021 was the first year we decided to branch out into Upsal manga. And mm-hmm. I'm really happy that we did. We're going to try and put out more episodes on that because manga's great. Go read some manga. It's like, it is so, like, you know how, like, it's so fucking easy to, like, watch anime nowadays? Like, in comparison to, like, how it used to be? It's so easy to just read some manga now. Read some manga.
Yeah, you just throw a few dollars at your phone or tablet and you get a little comic there.
Yep.
Technology is wonderful sometimes.
This is, folks, you're hearing the slow degradation towards Sleepy Jack. It's beginning to happen.
Okay, here comes and here comes the incredulous defense in attack mode.
I was just trying to whatever.
All right, thank you so much everyone for joining us. I hope you'll join us for some more awards coming up. But for now, we have to say goodnight. Good luck. Peace out.
See ya.
Later.